Very good morning to one and all. Today's topic is on Hebrews chapter 5, 11 to 14. And the subject or the title of this message is The Danger of Staying Spiritually Young. Today, the aesthetics industry is booming. Not only the young are getting aesthetics treatment to look young, the elderly are fighting the effects of gravity with injections, facelifts, and a range of other cosmetic procedures to look younger, or to reverse the signs of aging, or to break the spell of aging. So more and more people are trying to stay young, and if possible, they want to stay young forever. But what about staying young spiritually? Is there a danger? Yes, there's a danger. Therefore, this topic of this sermon is the danger of staying spiritually young. So therefore, the writer of Hebrews saw that the Hebrew Christians were continuing in their spiritual youth or spiritual immaturity. So he raised the red flag. He halted actually in his discussion of the high priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek in verse 10. And he intends to actually deal with this topic at great length to all the way to chapter 7 of Hebrews. Therefore, we can see the writer's concern and disappointment in verse 11, whereby he said, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered." So the writers saw that this continuing of this discussion, whereby he says, "Of whom?" Of this Melchizedek, whereby Jesus is after this order of this priesthood of Melchizedek, and to him, it will be very hard to utter, to continue, until he arrests this problem. So the writer saw that the Jewish Christians were avoiding this spiritual responsibility to progress in their spiritual journey, and especially when they are living in a time or world whereby there are persecutions and people holding Christians in contempt. So naturally, to avoid all these difficulties and trials in life, they are swayed back to the work-based salvation or religion of Judaism. And this Judaism denies Christ as better than the angels, better than Moses, Aaron, and they were compromising with the gospel. So the writer of Hebrews would not want that to happen. And he saw the need to reprove them, to admonish them. In fact, the passage that we just read is the third warning to them in relation to the Word of God. The first two warnings were against them backsliding or slipping away. And that is found in Hebrews chapter 2. And the second warning was that they were having this heart of unbelief in chapter 3. So these were the first two warnings being shot at them so that they would react and to really get back on feet to walk right with God on the spiritual track with God. And so this third warning was that the writer of Hebrews saw that they were very dangerously, perilously in the state of immaturity, spiritual immaturity, and they were not progressing as they should in the faith. So there are three lessons for us this morning. And first lesson is the lack of diligence to understand God's word. So that what happens, or that what causes the spiritual immaturity of the Christians in Hebrew and or Hebrews. And now we shall look at verse 11. It says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." So the writer had many things, as I mentioned earlier, to say to them, especially about the teachings of Christ's priesthood, which is after the order of Melchizedek. But it was a challenge for him to do so, to explain to them. So he wanted them to actually get back on track, to grow in Christ, to understand all these glorious teachings of Christ, so that they will be strengthened in the faith to love Christ more. However, the cause of the problem was not in the subject matter itself, that it was too chim for them, nor is the problem with the writer, the way he writes or the way he ministers to them, but the problem lies with the Jewish Christians themselves. The diagnosis of their spiritual condition was that they were spiritually immature. And if you do a spiritual heart scan, if there's this kind of machine, it will reveal that, as what verse 11 says, that they were dull of hearing, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Or what it means is seeing you become dull of hearing. So what does being dull of hearing means? It is not because it's a problem of the physical ears. They have too much ear wax in them. But it's a problem with the heart. The heart is lukewarm or cold towards God and His Word. And that resulted them in being dull of hearing. And the word dull is not just lacking interest, it's more than that. In the original, it means, the word literally means no push. No push. So it means that they are slothful, they are lazy. And this word dull is the same word as in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. The same word was used for dull, is used as slothful. And verse 12 says, that ye be not slothful. So the word slothful has the same meaning as dull, that they were very lazy in understanding God's word. And were they like that since day one? No, because the word are dull of hearing, the word are actually means become. It was in the perfect tense, and they were not always in that state before, but they have become spiritually immature. They were keen on hearing and listening to God and trying to understand God's word. But over time, the weeks, the months, and the years, they became lazy. They lacked the diligence to understand God's truth. Their response to God's word is one of slothfulness, complacency. Their minds have wandered off on something else that are of lesser value. So this spiritual condition reminds us of the Christians in Galatia, whereby Paul admonished the Christians there for having another gospel, believing another gospel. The word another gospel, the word another is a different gospel, whereby they believe in legalism, that the law is all that matters, and they deny Christ. And therefore, Paul said that these Christians are bewitched. They were bewitched. So Galatians 5:7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So they did run well. Like the Jewish Christians, they did start well. But then they continued in their spiritual immaturity state. So they focus more on themselves and not on Christ anymore. So how many of us are in this category? Dull of hearing, lazy to understand God's word. There's so much to learn the teachings of God's word. There's so much to learn about who God is and Christ is to us. And we can see Him and the deep things of God if we were to be diligent in studying God's word. Maybe when you were saved, you were very excited to learn of the fresh truths of God. But after time, the excitement faded away. when we had this catechism class with the young believers, we could see their eyes. They were very excited to know about God's word from the course. But I pray that in my heart, that when they, as time goes by, they will still have that sparkle in their eyes, that enthusiasm to learn about God and His word, and not to be overwhelmed and distracted by the things of this world. So it boils down to our heart. And are we continually impeded or hindered by the things of this world, by our own sin, by the cares and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes? So sometimes when we come to church, we may say we learn nothing. We may blame everyone except ourselves. Yes, the preachers have their weaknesses to speak clearly, eloquently about the things of God's truth. But God will be grieved with the murmuring in your heart, especially when you have become dull of hearing, when you blame the preacher instead of checking yourself. And maybe you have been long accustomed to the preaching style of this preacher or the delivery of this preacher, so much so that you turn off or tune out now, especially when the message is on. And sometimes when the story is being narrated, you will say, "Oh, I know this story, the parable of the prodigal son." Then you just switch off. And sometimes when I do teach the children in the children's ministry, I will come very excited and tell them, I will talk to them and say, "Hey children, today, guess what? We are going to learn about David and Goliath. Aren't you excited?" Know what's their response? "No." Why? "Because they've heard it before. It's the same old story." "I know already, teacher. I know already, Uncle Quek. I know already." Right? So we can be like these children. "I know this scripture passage so well. You are going to talk about cast your cares upon God and God cares for us. I know this verse so well. What's there for me to learn? Psalm 23, I know this psalm so well. What's there for me to learn? Why are you preaching this psalm?" So sometimes we can develop this kind of dullness in hearing. And it's always a struggle for us preachers to preach on which kind of events, which kind of days. Christmas, Easter, or Good Friday, Easter. Because the message will be the same. And we have this great struggle to make it plain and make it for you to be applicable to you, because we often face this challenge of the congregation saying, "We already know this. Jesus came into this world as a babe, as a baby, and he died on the cross. He's raised from the dead. I already know all." So sometimes we develop this dullness in hearing, and we begin to be lazy to understand God's word. So we blame everyone. And sometimes I have people telling me, "I learn nothing from this message. It's boring. Worship is boring." So therefore, we ought to check ourselves. Are we really preparing our hearts, or have prepared our hearts to receive God's word? Do we ask ourselves that we ought to at least learn one lesson from what we heard every Sunday? At least one lesson to take home, a take-home lesson to apply to our hearts. And that comes with prayer. You ask the Lord, "Lord, if I may not learn many lessons, please help me to learn at least one lesson." When you have that desire, you'll be listening intently, wanting to learn, "What is God telling me today? What can I bring home and apply it into my life. But if you message time, you start flipping up your phone and reading articles from your phone instead, or as what a preacher did mention, there are people who actually go into online shopping during message. What can I buy? Or Grab delivery? What time I must schedule for the lunch to come? Then would you expect to learn anything? Naturally, it will be a boring message because you thought you can multitask, but you won't be able to focus. And who is happy? The devil is happy. The devil is happy that you do this every week so that eventually you'll be dull of hearing, you will backslide. You will drift away from church, from fellowship, and from God Himself. So we ought to examine our hearts, whether we are dull of hearing today. Are we lazy and not diligent in understanding the Word of God? There's so much resources for us in the internet when we do our daily quiet time or private devotion. We can access to them and to learn much from the commentaries. There are those who disdain commentaries, but commentaries are given by, allowed by God. God used godly men to write commentaries who have insights into God's word, and that would help you. So don't just rely on a 5-minute devotion, a devotional book, just 3 minutes, and then you think it's done. That's just a dessert. You have to go to the main course, and that's the Bible. So have a reading plan. You may want to start with John, and then go to the other Gospels, and so forth. And I believe the Lord will richly bless you as you get to know Him more. You'll get excited about God again, about His kingdom. So therefore, let us not be like the Hebrew Christians who lack this diligence in to understand God's word. And what was the outcome for them? They were spiritually immature. And the next lesson is the lack of proficiency in God's word. And now we proceed to look at verse 12, whereby it says, For the time it ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So this is a rather long sentence, but basically it is the writer of Hebrews who sound out his disappointment. You can actually hear the sigh in him that because of their dullness of hearing God's word, they lack the ability to teach God's word, which they should, because they lack the proficiency in handling God's truth. So every Christian becomes capable of instructing others when he or she has a grasp of the Christian faith. And what is the basics of Christian faith? That is the gospel itself. Jesus came to die for sinners and to reconcile sinners to God, and talks about the fall of man, the need of a Savior, the virgin birth of Christ, the deity and humanity of Christ, Christ's bodily resurrection and ascension. All these are basics of the Christian faith, fundamentals. And therefore, when the writer of Hebrews admonished them that ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and they ought to be teachers instead, he was not saying that every child of God has the gift of teaching and preaching, but he is saying that every child of God has the responsibility of imparting God's truth to others. Responsibility and being equipped to defend the faith, just like what Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The Hebrew Christians or Jewish Christians were not able to do that at that time. They have been Christians long enough, but they have forgotten the basics, the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And they could not, the oracles of God here means the Old Testament and the sayings of Christ. And they could not understand the references to Christ of the Old Testament, especially the order of Melchizedek priesthood. So the writer is not done in reproving them. He admonished them again that they are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So the word they are become implies that they have degenerated. Instead of improving, they are degenerated, and it speaks so much of their condition now at that time. How that in time past, yes, they were young in the faith, they were drinking milk, but they did not grow past that infant stage. They remained as spiritual babes with very limited understanding of the spiritual truth, grasping simple Bible doctrines. They were not able to do so. They were not proficient in it, and also because they have no interest in it. And therefore, they were spiritually dull, and they need someone to teach them now the ABCs of truth, even having been Christians for so many years. And that is true of Christians today. Bible illiteracy have gone up, and there's no statistics in Singapore about this, but in US, there was some survey done, and it shows that there was this rise in Bible illiteracy, and 12% in US who responded to the survey, the adults believe that Noah's wife is Joan of Arc. So Joan of Arc is a defender. She's a defender of France in the war in the 15th century of 15th century. But they say that Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. And 50% of the high school or secondary school students think that Sodom and Gomorrah are husband and wife. I hope you don't think that way. They are husband and wife. There are places that God sent brimstones because of their sin. And considerable number of people believe that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. And 82% surveyed believe that these words, God helps those who help themselves, is a Bible verse. It's not a Bible verse. It's never found in the Bible. So Bible illiteracy has gone up, and it is a sad reflection of how people are still in their infant stage. I pray that Life Church, we as a church, will not be staying that spiritually young. There's a great danger of us not doing what is right in God's eyes. So all of us should know the gospel truth, the ABCs of Christianity, the basics, and all of us ought to be teachers. I do not mean that we should all be Sunday school teachers or Bible study leaders, but we should all live to be able to impart truth to others, to teach others the Christian faith. I read of a story which I've actually said this before, narrated this before. So this group of young men were playing basketball in the seminary's courtyard, and this elderly cleaner was reading the Bible, waiting for the game to end. And after the game, one of the young men said, as he saw this elderly cleaner reading the Bible, so this seminarian asked this elderly man, "What are you reading?" The cleaner said, "Oh, I'm reading the book of Revelation." So the young man said, "Wow, Revelation is so hard to understand. Do you know what it means?" So the elderly cleaner said, "Yes, I do. It means that Jesus wins." So the young man was rather pleasantly surprised by the remark or response of this elderly cleaner, that he could summarize Revelation into just two words: Jesus wins. So this is something that is an encouragement to us, that even an elderly cleaner, not a seminarian, not a theological student, could digest Revelation and come with just this essence of it: Jesus wins. So don't despise ourselves that, "Oh, I'm not a Bible student, I'm not a Bible college student, I do not know the Bible very much, I'm not a Bible study leader, I dare not tell others about my faith, I dare not tell others about my conviction of regarding the worldview, my worldview of life." So even the servant of a lowest rank can teach the master. A child can even teach a parent or grandparents. I remember there's this grandma who wrote in her testimony for her baptism a few years back. She wrote this testimony. She said that she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of what her grandson told her. What her grandson told her was, "Grandma, if you don't believe in Jesus, you will not be saved." The words are so simple, but it made a big impact on the grandma and struck her heart and caused her to ponder about her own life and the afterlife, because she's not that young anymore. And the Lord opened her heart and she came to know Christ. A child teaching the grandma, an elderly, matured woman, about what life is. So never despise ourselves, especially for fathers also. Don't give the excuse, "I do not know the Bible well, I cannot teach well, so therefore I do not teach my children about the Bible." That is an excuse that the Lord will be grieved, because every father should teach their children about God's word. Whether you can do it well or not well, you are still teaching God's word. And therefore, it's very important for us that as we lead our children up in Christ, it's not a transfer of religion. It's a transfer of our relationship with Christ to them. So we ought to do so for our children, that they too will have that relationship with Christ. And also for husbands to your wife, you got to teach your wife, lead them in a Bible study, just sharing what you learned today and telling them how the Lord has spoken to you. It's just over lunch or dinner and say, "Oh, honey, dear, you know, I learned of this verse. It's so good to me. It's so applicable to me." When you do that, your wife would also be learning from you. So never shirk from this responsibility. And when we do that, we make spiritual progress. And therefore, for all of us, the ministries in our church provide this avenue for you to grow spiritually. We have the Sunday school. Don't miss the Sunday school. It's for every age. And that's the, how many departments are there? 8 departments. And also we have the Emmanuel Reformed Bible Lectures. July, we are going to start a new series on the book of Judges by Pastor Tan Soon Yong. And also there's another course which I can't remember now. But take time to register and to learn. And it's within the comfort of your home. You are not taking the exams. You can do Zoom in your own comfort, comfortable room, in your own comforts. So why not? And the fee is not exorbitant. It is very reasonable. It's below $100. And what can you do with below $100? So use it well to invest into your spiritual progress. And we have MBCs. We have also LTF, YF, LF, and SF. All these are for you to grow in Christ. And the third lesson is lack of skills in applying God's word. And when we stay spiritually young, we will naturally lack these skills in applying God's word, and therefore will lead to lack of wisdom. And verses 13 and 14 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so the writer indicates everyone, and that includes him, for everyone. So you can see his humility. He's not out there just to rebuke, but he's also reminding himself. And that is a very good manner for all of us, that when we admonish, we are also learning a lesson for ourselves, whether we are doing the same thing that the Lord wants us to do. So these Christians, they were using milk. They were partaking or drinking milk. And therefore, what is the consequence? He is unskillful. The word unskillful means lack of knowledge, inexperience, unacquainted in the word. And this word is called the word of righteousness, which means the completeness of the knowledge. And therefore, this word of righteousness would have sanctified them, sanctified ourselves with God's truth. But they were unacquainted with this. They were unskillful. And why? Because they were on a milk diet and not solid food. They lacked in the skills in applying God's word. And so their life is certainly out of will of God, and they may not decide things that are within the will of God. And this is contrary to what God desires for every Christian. Especially Colossians 1:28, Paul says, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." So that's what Paul's desire for the Christians in Colossae. But and he wants them to be presented perfect when Christ comes for them. Perfect meaning complete. And that is what God's desire for us, to be complete before him, to be matured in Christ, ready for Christ coming for us. And that's what happened also in the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3, it says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So they were, Corinthian Christians were very immature and become very carnal, very fleshly. And what resulted? The weakening of the church. There's envying, there's strife, there's divisions, quarreling, arguments, and not able to be united. And therefore, it weakens the whole church. So that's why God wants us to be spiritually mature, lest we fall into this danger of the church weakening because we failed to progress in our spiritual walk with God. And milk is definitely good for babies, because 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." But we must not just handle milk as time goes by. We must handle solid food. We must take in consume solid food to grow in strength in our faith, that we are able to plumb the depths of the God's Word, to dig deeper into God's Word. And if we don't, we are just a babe. A babe is a baby. And the words "for he is a babe" is in the present active tense, meaning that at the present, he's a babe. He was a babe now, but he is still a babe. And the reality is, he's still a babe. He's a baby. There's nothing more tragic than someone who should spiritually mature, but remains a babe throughout his spiritual journey with God. So therefore, the writer says in verse 14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age." Full of age here means maturity. So therefore, those who are mature will desire strong meat. Not that you will go and study Greek and Hebrew and so forth, but you desire to learn more about the subject. What is salvation? What is predestination? What are the decrees of God that God has for us? So you dwell deeper into this subject if you are studying on salvation. It belongs to them that are mature. And it says, by reason of use, have their senses exercised, meaning that when you do that, you can make moral decisions, you can make right decisions, ability to understand. And the word exercise means gymnastics, meaning you are able to have that mental and spiritual training and that discipline. And all this is to do what? For what purpose? To discern both good and evil. So the Jewish Christians who are dull in hearing, slothful in understanding, not proficient in handling the word of God, they lack discernment. And they are like what? The Christians in Ephesus, which Paul warned them not to. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So when we are spiritually young, we are continuing to be spiritually immature, we will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Everything we think, oh, this is something that I've not heard of, or maybe this is good for me, and you imbibe it. And there's so much info now in the internet, and of course we have the artificial intelligence whereby they feed you with all the info that you need. And sometimes we can be tossed to and fro, but if we are spiritually mature, we know the Word of God, we know the basic principles of God's Word, we will be steady. We will not be so deceived to imbibe new doctrines that come. So therefore, we ought to be careful. And there was this elder of a church. He learned something new one day, and he learned that, and he believed that the Old Testament is only the Word of God, and only the words of Jesus is the Word of God, and everything that is not of the Old Testament and of Jesus' words is not the Word of God. And therefore he was disciplined and excommunicated because he refused to recant. And even an elder holding an office, an elder, a man holding an office, an elder, would err in that. How much more for all of us? So we got to really look into the Word of God and be grounded in His Word, so that we will not be carried about with every wind of doctrine and the sleight of man, the craftiness and cunning craftiness of man. So be careful. Be careful. There are so many bad doctrines out there. So we got to be discerning. So therefore, God desires us to have that measure of spiritual maturity. And it takes time, but we must progress. We must progress and not be complacent of where we are now and to think that we have arrived. But we have to take in the spiritual food, read the Bible every day, ask the Lord for His grace, the Holy Spirit, to illumine you to understand the Word of God. So God looks at our hearts, not at our outward appearances. God looks at our hearts. And is your heart one who is passionate for God and His Word, a heart that loves and hunger His Word, that to you is truly the bread of life, that without it you will feel weak? So go to it and love His Word and love Him. So there's a great danger to stay spiritually young or stagnant in our spiritual growth and being spiritually immature. You know, will not just weaken you, it will weaken the whole church. So let us therefore renew our strength to look into God's Word. Let us not be dull or sluggish or lazy in our understanding of God's Word. Let us not be lacking in proficiency and to teach others of God's Word. And let us not lack in wisdom to be able to apply God's Word into our lives. So I pray that as you live, you will have at least no one lesson to learn, and to as you go out of this sanctuary, you will take that lesson and apply it into your lives, and that we will grow in Christ. So remember, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to take in strong meat and not just rely on a milk diet. So may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this word that you have given to us. Help us, Lord, to be spiritually mature. And we take much grace and strength from you. May your Holy Spirit help us to understand your word, to hunger for your word, and to know that your word is what you have given to us, and you are speaking to us, you are reading us with your word to help us to draw close to you and to walk right with you. So we pray you will bless every one of us, our desire to know more about you. So we commit ourselves to your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.